Hey, human, compared to what?
What do you got?
Well, I have the key in my hand. All I have to find is the lock, the lock, the lock, the lock.
Now listen to me, all of you.
It's time for Stay Human, words and music to help us all do that, or at least to help me do it. On today's show, the responsive chord. When you feel the beat, move your feet or shake what you got and reach out. Bonnie Raitt on your radio, and I'm still in love with her after all these years. My name is Michael Goldberg. Coming up in this hour, some more great music, and also we'll have a visit with Northern Community Radio's founder and one of my radio heroes, Rich McClear, telling us about his new daily radio show up in Alaska. And we'll take a look back at a visionary who changed the way we use sound in mass media, Tony Schwartz. Almost 50 years ago, in his prophetic book about electronic media, he said the accuracy or reality of the stimuli, meaning information conveyed electronically, is often less important than the pattern listeners will apply in making sense of something they hear.
Just sort of walking around here inside the theater of my mind.
How did I get in here?
I put you in here. That's the nice thing about radio. I can put anything I want in here. Watch out for those elephants.
Shh, that was close. Watch yourself. You almost stepped in front of that train.
I saw it coming, actually.
Is that a merry-go-round over there by those Inca ruins?
Yes, it is.
Well, what do you mean that's the nice thing about radio?
Well, unlike, say, TV, which is at the mercy of the size of the screen, you know, the monitor of our head is limitless.
I get it.
Like that giant pterodactyl over there taking a bite out of the Superdome.
That's neat.
Send the synthesizer players in, will you?
Come on in. Thanks for helping me reappreciate radio. I gotta play this back on my Walkman.
Excuse me?
Yeah?
You left the door to my mind open.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Presented by the National Association of Broadcasters.
That's Stan Freberg, a radio genius who started his career making radio ads in a simpler time. I'm just a volunteer here with this program, and I find it confusing a little bit to be on the radio, on the air. I mean, as a description of where I am, it's a little bit nebulous, on the air or in the cloud. For instance, I'm talking to you right now, but I'm not actually. If you're listening to the broadcast, now is, for me, not yet. I'm speaking to you from the past, a few days ago in the recording studio. And you might be listening to the broadcast or streaming it at kaxe.org right now, anywhere in the world. Or maybe I'm on the Bluetooth in your car or in earbuds while you're hiking right now, whenever that is. And even though I feel like I am, in fact, all alone in the studio, yet I'm not alone. With your permission, right now I'm right here with you, wherever that may be. It confuses me, like I say. I mean, how can you be in two places at once if you're really nowhere at all? Our virtual spaces, we're roaming all over the world in touch with everyone at once. Where are we, really, Skyping with someone in Thailand or checking our video feed? And yet, it feels like this paradox, here and not here, alone and not alone, is somehow at the heart of the whole exercise for me, staying human, because nobody can be human without other humans in their world. There can be no me without a you. And the only time that there is, really, is now. I was talking about this recently with my friend and mentor, Rich McClear. He and Susie McClear started Northern Community Radio back in the 1970s. They introduced me to making radio, and in the decades since have guided people all over the world in using radio to build community. I asked Rich, tell me again, how does it work?
It's an intimate medium. It's a conversation between two people, always. Either me and the listener who's calling, and or me and the listener who's listening. And personal conversation is always the most intimate form of communication. And I think that is important. Also, we all come from a history of storytellers. And what we're trying to do is reach people through stories, and through the word, through expression. And so I think radio, because it's so intimate and such a good storytelling medium, and that includes radio writ large, whether it's radio stations, streaming, podcasts, whatever. Radio is a wonderful medium for doing that. You know, we've worked in Africa where it's still a very non-literate, verbal storytelling culture. Radio has a huge impact on that culture in South Sudan, for instance. And in our own culture, too. I mean, on Problem Corner, many of my listeners are Alaska Native. It's got historically a strong Native listenership. And that listenership responds to stories because it's still very much an alive tradition with them, where they sit down and grandpa passes the story on to grandchild. Very important tradition. And I think radio is an important extension of that tradition.
That's Rich McClear speaking to us from Sitka, Alaska. We'll hear more from him later in this hour. I so clearly remember the day, 1978, that I first met Rich and Susie McClear. I just knew that that day had changed my life. But that's not the story I want to tell you right now. I want to tell you about a day a few years before that, when I met Tony Schwartz, a pioneer of electronic media, who also changed my life profoundly, though I had no idea about it at the time. Here he is, doing a guest appearance on a radio show in the 1970s.
Good morning, Tom. The other evening, I was invited to the New York Guild for the Jewish Blind to present sound and sound stories to a number of elderly people. And as part of the evening, I recorded these people telling their names and their favorite sound or their most beautiful sound that they could think of.
My name is Morris Feldman.
And what is your favorite sound?
Classical music.
My name is Frieda London.
And
what I'd like to say is that sounds and voices mean a very, very much to blind people. You can tell, almost tell the character of a person.
My name is Alex Rothman, and my beautiful sound would be nice music.
Marguerite Thomas, the sound I love is music.
My name is Victor Light. One of my favorite sounds is the voice of my father and mother.
My name is Leah Behar, and I love the sound of the whistling of the birds in the morning.
The sound of activity, of day's activity, coming to a quiet end.
My name is Bill Sheeter. My favorite sound is music.
My name is Jimmy Palizzi, and I like the sound of church bells.
My name is Sophie McConaughey.
Yes.
I love the sound of children playing and of music.
My name is Anna Rabinovich. And I like the birds, just very, very much I like the birds.
Hello, my name is Tilly Temsky. My favorite is to be in the chorus. That is my best fish to be.
My name is Julia Twyman. I like the sound of church bells chiming.
I like the sound of children laughing and telling jokes.
My name is Mary Schmidt, and I think running water is the nicest sound that I know. A brook.
My favorite sound is the clinking, the feel of dollar bills. The bigger the denomination, the better the sound.
Well, I think this last gentleman was just kidding us. I think, in fact, he had written a beautiful poem about the sound of, I believe it was his mother's voice. I think that on your program you play a lot of the music that these people love. But I thought this morning I might just play a few sounds that they spoke of, just to listen to and to enjoy. The first sound is the sound of a country brook. Well, I hope some of our friends enjoyed those sounds, and this is Tony Schwartz saying, see you soon, Tom. Thank you.
Music by Eric Satie. Audio collage for the blind by Tony Schwartz. In the fall of 1970, my big sister moved to New York City. She had just graduated from college and landed a real New York City job in publishing, first at Time Magazine and then at Doubleday Anchor Books. Oh, I was so proud. I mean, not just the big city and a real paycheck, but like, wow, a career. She was suddenly, officially grown up, and it made me feel very grown up. She had a third-floor walk-up on West 56th Street in Manhattan. I helped her move in. Not a whole lot of furniture, but plenty of books and record albums. Carol was 4 years older than me, so she'd always been kind of my scout into the future, explaining to me what the grown-ups really meant when they said, "We'll see," and later getting me high for the first time with her college friends, confiding in me and becoming my confidant and counsel as we navigated the 1960s and our young adulthoods together. And here she was. Pretty soon, her clothes were sharp and stylish, and she knew all those insider things Manhattanites prize, like when on Saturdays does the Sunday Times appear, or where to go for awesome little sandwiches. I loved going to visit her in those years. Even her office at Doubleday Books was a wonder to me. At that time, a lot of the walls and rules of culture had been kicked open, and Anchor Books was all over the place. She gave me books by Black and Native authors, by social visionaries. There were psychedelic dispatches, and there was a book, too, by her landlord, the weird guy whose third floor was her apartment. She introduced me to him. He worked in the basement of the building where he lived on the first and second floors. The basement studio was a small room with a floor-to-ceiling shelf crammed with 8-inch audio tapes. And the tables were covered with speakers, headphones, microphones, cables, recording machines. He made radio ads, she told me, and I had no idea what a profound effect his work would have on my life. All indirectly, I only knew him as the landlord, who was quite agoraphobic. He didn't like to leave his apartment. Her deal on the rent included running occasional errands for him when he couldn't get a delivery. His name was Tony Schwartz, and his book, subtitled How Media Manipulate What You Buy, Who You Vote For, and How You Think, was called The Responsive Chord. Impossible to measure its influence. Published in 1973 and anticipating in so many ways the realities of the current media environment. Ira Glass, who creates the radio show This American Life, said, "I read it as a freshman in college, and it affected everything I've made since. Its message is practical and deep." In the book, Schwartz explains what he calls a resonance theory of communications, that what counts, especially on radio and TV, and now, of course, that means podcasts and YouTube, what matters is the experience the listener is having while receiving the stimulus, including everything that listener already believes and expects and desires and connects. Tony Schwartz didn't just make radio ads. He showed Madison Avenue that they don't really need to sell the product. They have to sell the feeling. And as his career progressed, he got more and more interested in politics and social movements, involved in social issues of many kinds. He created the first anti-smoking ad, for example, in 1964, a time when the tobacco industry totally dominated network revenue. And he set a new standard for political advertising, too. It's not the content, he believed, it's the viewer's psychological engagement, the responsive chord.
Stakes to make a world in which all of God's children can live or to go into the dark. We must either love each other or we must die.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
Oh, by the way, for you history buffs, Senator Goldwater lost that election. TV advertising changed TV politics in the wraparound media environment in ways Tony Schwartz was one of the first to see. The technical mastery of that TV ad, known as the Daisy ad, because the little girl at the beginning is pulling petals off a flower, that mastery wasn't even matched until maybe four presidential elections later, Morning in America. And then after that, well, you know. It's stunning to me now, and I should tell you that I have spent more than 20 years as a consultant and a trainer sharing some of his insights with community activists around the country. Even so, I'm amazed to realize now how prescient he was. Back in the time of reel-to-reel, well before portable video cameras were even available on the market, his analysis so clear of what it meant to live and be surrounded by an electronic media environment, how pertinent it is to the dizzying digital age of today. At the time, another leading thinker about this was Marshall McLuhan. He and Tony knew and admired each other. Among other things, Tony Schwartz had a radio program on WNYC, a non-commercial radio station licensed at that time to the city of New York. And he often had McLuhan as a guest. Here he is in a 1975 broadcast.
Hello there. This is Tony Schwartz with Communications Journal. I think one of the most meaningful statements Marshall McLuhan has made about our electronic environment is that instant information creates involvement in depth. And here I'd like to explore it a little.
Instant information creates involvement in depth.
With the following sono montage of McLuhan and of people commenting on the possible stranding of astronauts in outer space, I'd like to show how deeply McLuhan's thinking connects.
One of the major changes that's come into the world with the electronic environment as a total surround.
I was watching a program on TV when they broke in with the news about what was going on with the astronauts, and we got the news straight from Houston
itself. Is that instant information creates involvement.
The thing that really frightened me was the
slow movement of information creates detachment.
Could be stuck out there, how they must feel.
Instant information creates involvement in depth.
The thing that was really very disturbing was that we were in it, that this was happening right now, and we just didn't know what was going to happen.
I began to put myself into this situation. I began to feel I was up there. I began to put myself in the position, how would I feel as this man's wife?
You read in the paper, it's over with, or even if something is in the process, the fact that it's a down on print or something makes the reaction less strong. As you listen to the radio and you picture what's happening and you realize all the potentialities and there are all these uncertainties.
It became like everybody's family. It became
just,
like a tragedy.
You live it more. You're in
family.
It more.
One of the hidden factors in our environment today is this. When you have an instant information structure, you put outside as your environment the human subconscious.
I know, this astronaut business. The next day I was just depressed as can be, and I'm
we tend to talk about the increase of consciousness during this electric phase. What is increasing enormously is the subconscious. That is our new environment. The subconscious is a world in which we store everything, not something.
With our personal computer, our brain, storing everything that our life and communication world brings to it, we as people have a millionfold increase in common knowledge and experience today that we never had before. Is communications and advertising in the 1970s and ahead the art of putting in or evoking out? And are our communicators able to act quickly enough to make the involvement deep? This is Tony Schwartz with Communications Journal, and I'll see you next week.
Living in a collective subconscious, images, sounds, feelings, memories, snatches of this and snatches of that, all mixed with the logic of a dream. No wonder it's so unnerving out there. The most profound legacy of Tony Schwartz's work is not the analysis or his techniques, but their application. He created communications for a range of social causes that he believed in, and he trained other activists to understand way before smartphones that they had much more power in their hands and in their speech than they were using. Be the media, he taught, and be strategic. He made radio ads that named names and even gave out phone numbers, jamming the lines of decision makers. He once created the perfect multimedia campaign designed to get the city council to vote a certain way. It was beautiful in its simplicity. He produced 2 60-second radio spots for each of the members of the council, starting with their name, but then with alternating scripts. One went, "Councilman Roberts has turned his back on the people of New York, voting no on whatever it was." And the other starting, "Councilman Roberts has the courage of his convictions and once again has shown he can deliver what the people of New York want and need," with a description of the yes vote. Then, the evening before the council meeting, late enough so that they were sure that none of the councilors or any staff would be in their offices, they called each answering machine, and for each city councilor left this customized message. "We wanted to give you a heads up. We've bought radio time for tomorrow after the city council meeting. We will be delivering the radio stations one of these two ads," and then played the ads for them to hear that morning on their playback. They won the vote. And Tony Schwartz and the many who learned from him and imitated him went on to win many more. "Be the media," he said, back when that was a new idea, back in the 1970s, when we were starting community radio stations like this one, Northern Community Radio. My name is Michael Goldberg, today saluting some radio heroes on Stay Human. Thanks to Tony Schwartz's son, Anton Schwartz, for helping to maintain the archives at tonyschwartz.org. Here he is. He's a well-known jazz musician based in San Francisco Bay. His cut, "Flash Mob." Mm-hmm. That's Anton Schwartz with Flash Mob. For more great jazz, stay tuned after this program for a new show on KAXE KBXE, Jazz on America Avenue. 2 hours of America's classical music, old and new, traditional and contemporary jazz, brought to you by volunteer programmers who know and love the music. Your host tonight at 6, David John. Northern Community Radio is on the air and in the cloud because of the creative contributions of hundreds of volunteers and the financial contributions of our listeners. Thank you for supporting the station with your membership. Thanks also to the voters of Minnesota for the legacy amendment, including the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, which contributes to this and other local programs on KAXE KBXE. Coming up on Stay Human, a conversation with Rich McClear, who with his wife Susie McClear got this thing going first on the air 43 years ago. But first, some more responsive chords from a great American composer, David Amram. Thank you. David Amram, the waltz from After the Fall. I had the great honor of knowing David. I met him originally through this radio station. I've always considered him kind of a guiding star for staying open, you know, just being open to experience and to other people and to beauty and to whatever happens, to just stay human. Come to think of it, there are so many creative people I've been privileged to know and to work with through this radio station. Now that I'm a retired guy who gets to make a radio show every week, I can appreciate that much more fully than when I worked here and had, you know, responsibilities and deadlines, and it was like a job, although the fun part always was being on the radio. There was a period, though, some years back when we were really scraping for cash, and our 10-year-old transmitter, which had kind of been cobbled together in the first place, was cobbling apart. Until we replaced it, we were way too often knocked off the air while we waited for a replacement part to arrive. When it did, and we got back and we resumed our broadcast, I was always pleased to play this song again.
Listen in to the radio station where the mighty host of heaven sing. Turn the radio on.
Turn the radio on.
Turn the radio on.
Turn the radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn the radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share. Master's radio, get in touch with God, turn your radio on. Listen to the songs of fathers and mothers and the many friends gone on before. Turn your radio on,
turn your radio on,
turn your radio on,
turn your radio on.
Some eternal morning we shall meet. Hallelujah, sure, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn the radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share. Turn the lights down low.
Turn your lights down low.
And listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God.
We're celebrating radio today and the responsive chord on Stay Human, including salutes to some of my radio heroes. At the top of that list would have to be Rich and Susie McClear, who founded Northern Community Radio in the 1970s and then went on to put on another community radio station on the air in Sitka, Alaska, Raven Radio. When the Iron Curtain turned to dust, they worked for international agencies, bringing community radio to what were then optimistically called emerging democracies. Now, in addition to his weekly program on Raven Radio, Rich is hosting a daily one-hour show on AM called The Problem Corner. I asked him, with all his experience, why was he doing this instead of, say, making a podcast that I could subscribe to?
I like live radio. I, of course, do production, but I prefer doing live radio because I know that if I mess up, it's out there. It's an adrenaline rush. So doing Problem Corner is great for me because anytime the phone lights up, I don't know what's on the other end. And it could be great. It could be a horrible call. It could be someone, as it happened a week ago, describing their child abuse. You know, describing their abuse as a child. And then the next caller says, well, you know, you should just cut her off because we don't want to hear that. And then she calls back and said, that was my abuser. You know, you can't do that on pre-recorded radio. And you deal with it. You talk it through. It's really interesting live radio. And now, do I like the fact that they're streaming and podcasts? Of course I do. It means radio has a whole second life. I mean, audio is the medium, and the delivery system, you know, I'm agnostic about it, really. I do think that the idea of streaming, I don't like what the copyright law says about it, because it limits my ability to do radio by what is limited by the copyright law, which isn't limited for FM only. But otherwise, it's nice to be able to reach, for instance, the Sitka diaspora. Right now, Raven Radio's weekly audience is larger online than the entire population of the listening area. And that's because it plays, you know, some funky things that people have caught up on, specialty programs, and also because there's a great diaspora that's interested in what's happening. So I think radio's got a great future in that sense.
I'd say after 50 years in the business, at least Rich has a great future in radio. I asked him to tell me more about the Problem Corner.
Problem Corner is a daily radio show. It's been on, at least since the 60s. And it's on three different stations in Southeast Alaska, commercial stations. And it's an hour-long call-in show. And it started as a buy, sell, and trade. And the guy who did it asked me to fill in because he made more money as a tour bus driver in the summer than he did at a radio station. And so I filled in for the summer, part of the summer, and I took the program in a different direction because there isn't a lot of buy, sell, and trade on the radio anymore because of the internet, because of, you know, Sitka for sale and things like that. So I started inviting guests and started picking issues and just having people open up and talk. And it, you know, the volume of calls has gotten huge. People are clamoring to be on the show. I do some storytelling sometimes. Sometimes I have a guest. Now, today, for instance, today the first guest talked about high school basketball and the wrap-up of the high school basketball season. Then I took some calls. One call was a woman who had two cars that were in her front yard, and she was trying to get rid of them for parts, and, you know, would someone come and take them away? Then I got a call from a woman who was at the roundabout and talking about people going too fast and talking on their mobile phones on the roundabout. Then I got a call from a guy in Juneau who was trying to locate his brother, who they haven't heard from in a while, and would his brother please call his number? Then my next guest came in, and she's running a program which is very interesting because young people want to go into fishing. The fleet is graying. And so they're running an apprentice program where they match young people who want to be fishers with experienced skippers who are vetted. And it's especially important for women who want to go in the fishery, because there's a lot of danger being out in the ocean with another guy who's not been vetted. And so it used to be you put your name on the blackboard at the Pioneer Bar and someone would you know, pick you up. And this is a way of developing an apprenticeship program to get young people into the fisheries, and especially a way of safely getting women, young women, into the fisheries. So we talked about that. Then I took some more calls. Then a woman came in who's trying to develop outdoor sports and action recreation as more of an industry instead of kind of an ad hoc thing, and try to organize people involved in outdoor recreation to form an association to promote Sitka as an outdoor recreation spot to the outside world. And then she left, and I got a few more calls. Someone was selling DVDs. Someone was moving and they needed to get rid of stuff, and so they were doing it. Someone was selling antiques from his mother's house, and I try and engage them on the call. So, for instance, the guy selling antiques, I engaged him to talk about a particular book from the 1880s, A History of Ireland, which had gold leaf cover and was fascinating. Or one woman called and said, I got some stuff I got to get rid of. I said, no, you're trying to sell this. That's the wrong way of opening. Call me back with a new opening.
Did she call back?
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, and for the last few days she's called now. But, you know, it's stuff like that. Or someone called, they're selling a Weber grill. I said, describe a great meal you prepared on that grill. And so it goes beyond buy, sell, and trade to people telling their stories, which is what I'm trying to get them to do. And so, tell me a great meal that's been cooked on that grill. Or someone selling a freezer, and I'd say, okay, now you freeze fish. Tell me about a great trip that you had where you caught fish that were in that freezer. You know, stuff. It's trying to engage folks from a mundane buy, sell, and trade. And I'm getting a lot more buy, sell, and trade calls because people are, you know, I think they want me to have them tell their stories.
And how often does this show on?
Every day. Every day from 11 to noon. And, you know, and at the end, I often have a flurry of calls from people. Oh, my gosh, it's getting to be the end. And, you know, and when Walk, Don't Run by The Ventures comes on, it means I got 2 minutes and 8 seconds before I join CBS News. So, you know, I'm having a ball with this show. And today was great because I was on Raven Radio for the morning show. And then I went over and did Problem Corner on KIFW.
And now you're on Northern Community Radio.
And now I'm on Northern Community Radio. It's a great day to be on radio 3 times in a day. What a privilege. What a joy.
It really is, Rich, every time for me, too. And we have time in this program for one more radio hero of mine. Bill McKeever, who worked at this radio station for its first 20 years on the air. In addition to the really brilliant music shows that he produced, he frequently appeared as the Roadhog. Not long before Bill's death, the Roadhog was asked to provide current affairs commentaries. Here's one he did during the first year of the Clinton administration back in 1993.
Howdy. My name's Lester C. Moran, otherwise known as the Roadhog. I've been prevailed upon to issue forth these little commentaries from time to time on politics, the arts, life, and the prevailing ennui in general. So I'll be coming up with these ramblings from time to time as the spirit moves me. Right now I got a number of arns in the far. My crack investigative team is right now hard at work ferreting out the answers to such questions as, is Hillary Clinton really going to change the name of Air Force One to the Suffragette? And why are the fortunes in Chinese fortune cookies written in English? And who the hell is Ennui anyway? Well, here's an item I did find out. The Beach Boys are back together, and they've dedicated their new release to Bill Clinton's daddy. You know, it's a remake of that old hit of theirs called I Get Around. You know, that reminds me and the Cadillac Cowboys have got a new release out on 78 and 8-track tape. Side one's called I Can't Get Over You, So You're Gonna Have to Get Up and Turn the Light Off by Yourself. And on the flip side, there's a beautiful ballad I wrote in the limo on the way over to the session called She Was Only a Stonecutter's Daughter, But I Never Took Her for Granted. Well, any rate, you know, Billy Clinton's been putting out these budgets with all this money for retraining. Well, I got an easier and cheaper way to retrain people that's out of work, like, for instance, the aerospace engineers. Just practice this one simple phrase. Do you want fries with that? Would you like fries with your order? Do you want fries with that? Well, a Minnesotan, you know, just got a top spot in the administration. Old Fritz Mondale, of course, got the job as ambassador to Japan. You know, I was first considered for the job. I talked to President Clinton about it, and he was kind of interested in the fact that I'd spent some time over there after the big one. You know, WW2, where I once actually met an atheist in a foxhole. But that's another story. Well, President Clinton asked me, he says, well, Roadhog, when you were over there, did you see the pagodas? And I says, see them? Hell, Bill, I had dinner with them. Charming folks. Yes, indeedy. Well, I'd like to remind you to come over to the Big Daddy School of Divinity this 4th of July weekend. We're reenacting the founding of Minnesota by Harold Stassen. Yeah, well, I can see by the old clock on the wall that it's just about time to get out of here. You know, like my daddy liked to tell me, Roadhog, it's time to leave when the tar is hot. They're ripping open pillars to get at the feathers, and there's a couple of guys coming towards you carrying a rail. Oh, just one more thing. I want to remind you to stop by the Roadkill Cafe this weekend for a bite. We're featuring the Dave Duren Burger. It's mostly baloney. Well, y'all take care, and remember, it's just like old Warren G. Harding said, you can fool some of the people all the time, and you can fool all the people some of the time, and that should be sufficient.
Bill McKeever as Lester C. Moran. We miss him still. And I'm so grateful to have heard him and learned from him. In fact, I'm swimming in an ocean of gratitude. So many radio heroes, so many people past and present who make this place what it is, including this program, Stay Human, every Sunday from 5 to 6. The program tries to live up to the words of Woody Guthrie, who said, I hate a song that makes you think you are not any good, just born to lose, no good for nothing. I am out to fight those songs. I am out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world. That's Woody Guthrie. I'm Michael Goldberg. Here's Gil Scott-Heron.
The ground beneath my feet, I know was made for me. There is no any one place where I belong. My spirit's meant to be free, and so now everyone will see. Life was made for us to be what we want to be. And if it's your world, it's yours and yours and yours. And what you see, what not meant for me, is your world. But you don't have to be lonely, cause in your world you are truly free. The thoughts that fill my mind are a very special kind, because they're home to me and me alone. And then I realize that we all have a home inside. It was meant for us to be what we want to be. And it's your world. It's yours and yours and yours. And what you see, it was not meant for me. It's your world. But you don't have to be lonely, cause in your world you are truly free.
Long neck of the